Well, I thank the pastor for giving me this opportunity to come here and to share the Word of God with you, as well as share the ministry of the Berean Baptist Bible College. And many of you have been part of this ministry. My father has been coming to Northern Ireland to the Free Presbyterian Church, and many of you have given generously. And you can see what God has done for the land of India. Over 1.2 billion people are there. 84% of our population is Hinduism. And then we have Islam of 14%. And then we have other religions in India, Jainism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, and Christianity. They say it's about 2.5%. And then Roman Catholicism is a dominant religion there, under the umbrella of Christianity. But Bible-believing Christians are less than 0.5%. We thank God that God has raised up godly men who had a vision to evangelize the land of India. And we thank God for the way many of our graduates are out serving the Lord. And through your prayers and financial help, we've seen how God has blessed the ministry where many of our young people have gone, not only in India, but also into the neighboring countries of Bhutan, Nepal, Myanmar, and also across the border into an Islamic country of Bangladesh. We've seen how God has helped establish many Bible-believing churches, and many people have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I covet your prayers for this ministry, that God will continue to strengthen us, that God will continue to give us the boldness and the courage to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as we face many oppositions and difficulties in these coming days. Because of the fanatical Hindus and others who are against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they do everything to hinder the work of God. So do pray that God will continue to keep us faithful and keep us strong and give us the courage and boldness that we will continue to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our dark world that needs the light of the gospel. So I request you to continue to pray for us as we continue to labor together for the cause of Christ. This morning I'd like to speak to you from the book of Galatians as we think about the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at a man's life, Paul the Apostle. He says, "How should I live unto God? How should I live? God did everything for me. God gave His life for me. He shed His precious blood for me. And He saved a wretched sinner like me." And many of us can say the same thing about Paul, that God showed His love and grace towards us. He cared enough for us. He showed His mercy and grace. And how do I live for God? How do I serve our Savior today? And so let us look at Galatians chapter 2. And I'll read only one verse from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And Paul writes here, he says, the Apostle Paul, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." As we look at this passage, I want to talk about this morning about crucified Christians. What does it mean to be a crucified Christian? And as we look, a life of a crucified Christian, it's more of a very demanding life. It's not going to be easily achieved. To live right means there's a great demand. And God expects us to live right. And how does He expect us to live? He expects us to live today as lives that are completely surrendered to the will of God. That we give our lives totally to Christ. That's what it means. Death with Christ means that our old self is dead. That's what Paul was saying When he said that I'm crucified, what was he meaning? He says, my old self, my self-religion, my self-centeredness, my self-egoism, all that has been dead, and now Christ enthrones my life. That Christ takes the center stage in my life. And that's what our crucified Christian ought to be saying, that Christ is the center of my life, that Christ has the preeminence in my life, that Christ has my first love. And that's what we ought to be living like that. Yes, Paul enthroned, and his enthronement of self, what he do? He said, I would yield it all to God. He said, I yield everything to God. When he met him on the road to Damascus, that's where he met the Lord. And there he said, what will thou have me to do? He said, Lord, I know you are Jesus of Nazareth. I want to give my all to you. I want to be that chosen vessel to be used by the Master. And was he not used in a great way? My friends, it was not in Paul's own strength that he was able to live that Christian life. He said he needed the faith of God. He needed the strength of God. He needed the guidance of God. We cannot achieve anything in our own lives today, but the only way we can achieve anything for God is through God's strength in us, working in us, and through us. And that's why Paul said, Christ lives in me. Christ controls this life. Christ controls this body. Christ controls this mind. Christ controls these eyes. Christ controls these feet. That's what he's saying. Every part of this body, Christ controls. Why? Because he lives in me. And that's what we as Christians, as we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, may we surrender our lives. He has done so much for us. What can we do? We can give our lives to him. Romans 12, 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he present your bodies a living sacrifice. A life that is surrendered unto God. And that's what we need today. My friends, if we are going to live a complete Christian life, then we need to surrender our wills to God. We need to surrender everything that we have to God, and then we need to live by the faith in the Son of God. That's what Paul the Apostle talked about here. And he says, now I live by the faith of the Son of God. Our Christian life is a life of faith. It's not about emotions. And we see that many a time in the Christian circles today. There are many people who are aroused emotionally, and they feel like they have to surrender their life, and the preacher preaches, and they, with their emotions, come down and they surrender. But really, they do not. Just after they leave the church doors, they live their own life again. We see that time and time again. We see where Christians say we are Christians, but their lives do not reflect what the Lord teaches us in his word. Paul says we need to be crucified. And so this morning, what does it mean I'm crucified with Christ? We know what it meant for Christ. We know what it meant for Christ to be crucified. Yes, one day they led our Savior on a hill called Calvary. And we see a cross there. We see our Savior hanging on that cross. The Son of God dying not for our sins, but the sins of others. And then you notice as the darkness fell upon that dark day, we hear our Savior say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then again, as he bows his head, he cries out and says, it is finished. Redemption plan is completed. The sting of death is removed. Yes, my friends, when he said it was finished, it was finished. The price for the sins of mankind was paid upon that cross. as we sing that beautiful song, see from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled out. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet on thorns compose so rich a crown? That's what our Savior did for you and for me. Yes, my friends, crucifixion means death. Death to sin. Death to our old life. Death to our old self. Death to our old lusts. Death to our old desires and our own ambitions. That's what it means to be crucified Christians. To be dead to ourselves, to our desires, to our ambitions, to what we like. We put it away for the cause of Christ. For Christ's sake. That's what Paul did. He said, I give everything up. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, I want to live for Christ. And that's what the world needs today. Christians are living for Christ. Christians are crucified for Christ. Christians are living for Christ. That's what the churches need today to see. That's what the world needs to see in our churches today. Crucified Christians. You know, yes, my friends, it's not an easy battle. It's a difficult battle. You're going to face it every day. There's going to be the battle between the spiritual and the carnal. And I hope the spiritual man always wins every day. Amen? I hope he wins and not the carnal. But today we see the carnality influencing our churches, our homes, and destroying our churches and our homes. I don't know much. I know in your place, in this country, many are born again Christians. You don't see that. But I can tell you in my country of India, and also traveling in the United States, we can see how the world has permeated into the churches, into our homes, where it's all nominal Christianity, where there's no real love for Christ, where there's no people living for God. It's all about how you feel about Christ. But we need crucified Christians today who are living for Christ. And Paul understood how to live for Christ. We need to fight the battle of the old self. And Christ has promised He'll give us the victory. As we look at the Lord Jesus Christ when He was crucified, I want to talk to you about some of the way Christ was crucified for you and for me. I want you to notice first, a Christian's heart should be crucified. A Christian's heart needs to be crucified. Yes, my friends, Christ's heart was crucified. As someone said, that Christ died of a broken heart. He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. Yes, the sin of all mankind, of all the world, was put upon Him. He bore that pain for you and for me. Yes, even God the Father turned His back upon His Son for a moment. His heart was crucified for you and for me. Yes, there are the soldiers standing at the foot of the cross, took a spear and thrust it to His side when the water and blood gushed out. Yes, His heart was crucified for you and for me. I ask you today, Christians, heart died for Christ? Is your heart dead to sin and to evil? Is your heart the throne upon which Christ lives today? Does Christ have the first place in your heart today? Yes, we talk about the resurrected Savior. We say, yes, the Lord is risen indeed. But does He rule in your heart? Does He sit on the throne of your heart this morning? Does He have the first place in your life? Or is your heart divided between Christ and the world? Does your heart completely belongs to God, or does it have something of the world today? Many people, you see, in the churches are torn between the worldly pleasures, the worldly materialism, the worldly satisfaction, but still they want to hold on to Christ. My friends, we cannot do that. Either we serve Christ or we serve the devil or the world system. We need to make a choice. That's why Joshua said, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Is your heart crucified with Christ this morning? The next thing I want you to notice about the crucifixion of the Lord, His mind was crucified. Christians, our minds should be crucified. The book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, tells us how the Lord agonized in the garden. When He was praying, the sweats of drops of blood came down from His forehead. He agonized for you and for me. Book of Philippians says we need to have the mind of Christ. His mind was crucified for you and for me. He had a mind of humility. He had a mind and a pure motive. And we need to have the mind of Christ. Someone has said the secret of joy in a Christian life, in spite of circumstances, is a single mind. The secret of joy in spite of people is a submissive mind. And Christ had that. He had a singleness of mind. And He had a submissive mind. His mind was, no, He came to do the will of the Father. He said He wanted to submit to the authority of the Father. That's what His mind. He knew what He was. He came into this world for. And there in the garden when He was agonizing, and there when He was praying with the Father, you could see the pain. You could see the emotional agony of our Savior there in the garden. He said as He cried out to the Father, "Father, if it all be possible, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." That was He agonizing. He knew the pain. He knew the suffering. He knew what kind of a death He would face. But He bore it for you and for me. He did it for you and for me. Christians, is our minds submitted to the will of God? Do we have a single mind to please Him? To serve Him? Is our minds truly humble before God? Have we yielded ourselves to God? A Christian mind is a crucified mind. A Christian mind is a single mind. A crucified mind of a Christian is a submissive mind. A mind that is submissive to the will of God, to please God, the Lord Jesus Christ. May that be said of us today. The third thing I want you to notice, a Christian's feet should be crucified. Our feet should be crucified. We see Christ's feet were crucified. Yes, when they laid Him on that cross, they crossed His feet, and there they drove those spikes through His legs. And we can see the flesh and the blood that went down, bore, and the bone, the pain that He bore for you and for me. His feet was crucified for you and for me. Christians, is our feet crucified with Christ? What does it mean to have crucified feet? My friends, this is what it means. We must be careful where our feet take us. Never let them lead us to a place that will destroy and bring a reproach to our Savior. Our feet ought to be carrying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our feet should be doing errands for Christ. How beautiful are the feet of them that carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you taking the message of the cross? Are you taking the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to every corner of this world? To every home? To every neighbor? Are you willing to take the message of Christ? Paul did that. Paul said, "My love, my feet are crucified." He said, "I'm going to take the gospel." And he did. My friends, can our feet carry us to a mission field today? Can our feet go to the ends of the world? Can our feet take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your feet crucified with Christ today? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's what Paul was saying. Number four, I want to talk to you about is our Christian hands should be crucified. Yes, we see Christ's hands were crucified. You see that nail-pierced hands, that the nails that were pierced on His hands. Yes, my friends, Thomas doubted Christ, but when he saw that nail-pierced hands, he said, "My Lord, my God." My friends, are our hands crucified this morning? What does it mean to have our hands crucified? My friends, when our hands are crucified, we will be careful what we handle today. Our hands should never handle anything that will stain them with sin and with wrong. My friends, Christ never held anything that was tainted by dishonesty. His hands were not tainted. May our hands not be tainted, but may they be crucified to be a hand that will help those who are in need. A hand that will touch and help and care for the lost and dying. May that be our hands that will be active in the service of the King. May our hands be active in serving God and doing the things of God. Next, I want to talk to you about the years of a Christian. The years of a Christian should be crucified. Yes, my friends, what are crucified years mean? It will be careful about the things we listen about others. It is so common in our churches, and churches, I don't know about here, but I know in my country, gossip is very easy. People will begin to talk, and people are going to say and spread rumors. And people will destroy the things that people say. Destroy lives. Oh, our ears need to be crucified. Be careful what you hear about others. Be careful that you will not hear and succumb to those things that will tear us down and bring us down or tempt us downwards. Be careful that our ears will not listen to false rumors, to false things about individuals. We must be deaf to the voice of the devil. And may our ears be attentive to the voice of God. You know how often churches are ruined, homes are ruined because of things that are said, and people give ear to that. Crucified ears do not listen to gossip or things that hurt others. They don't carry that gossip to someone else. Yes, my friends, crucified ears say, I am deaf to all that is wrong and harmful. I want to listen to the voice of God and do His work. Next thing I want you to notice, Christians' eyes need to be crucified. One of the saddest things that I heard in the statistics in America last year was this. 70% of Christian preachers in America today are given to pornography. 70% of preachers standing in the pulpits of America today are given to pornography. It was said that one day they had a big convention, a youth convention, in the city of Chicago, and many of the hotels that were booked in the city of Chicago by many of these young pastors, youth pastors, they said the highest rating, highest income was because of pornographic movies. The hotels made a lot of money on paid preview on pornographic material. This is what is happening today in our Christian circles, and that's why our Christian eyes should be crucified with Christ. We need to be careful at what we see. Isaiah saw the Savior. When he talked about Jesus, he said His visage was marred more than any man. Oh, may we see that Christ today. May we see a Christ whose visage was marred. May we see a Christ who is now exalted on high. Like Isaiah saw. He said, the day King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. May we see a glorified Christ. Yes, my friends, they placed a crown of thorns upon His brow and pressed and pierced His eyebrows. They crucified His eyes for you and for me. We ought to make sure our eyes are crucified. Then we must be careful on what we look today. We need to be careful on what we see. Yes, there are many things that appeal today and many things that distract and allure us downwards. But let us keep our eyes upon the Savior. May our vision be upon Him. May our eyes look unto the fields that are white unto harvest. Of fields that they need of laborers that can go. That's what Christ saw when He came down from the mount. On the mount where He spoke, He gave the sermon on the mount. When He came down and He looked at the multitudes and He was moved with compassion. My friends, that's what our Christian eyes should be seeing. A world of the people of lost sinners going to a Christless eternity. Our eyes should see with compassion the lost. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. My friends, do you see a harvest that needs laborers? Our eyes need to be crucified. And lastly, our Christian tongues need to be crucified. Our Christian tongues need to be crucified. I used to say at a church in America, in the city of Indianapolis, the fellow pastor was a good friend of mine. There was a man who really helped me. After my father passed away, he would live on the same property of the church, and I was living in the mission parsonage there. And he would come and he would spend time and talk and encourage me in the Word of God. But the pastor served the church for almost 40 years. Then he said, one day he came and told me, "Doc, I'm going to retire. I need to go into evangelism and I need to go help missionaries. I've been here 40 years and I'm getting of age now. I need the church needs somebody younger to take over the church." But my, oh my, when he decided to step down the church, and he had suggested somebody to come to take as a pastor, because independent Baptists, they say they're independent, and we're a little bit different than the Free Presbyterian in way of appointing pastors. There was a big division in the church. People began to talk. People began to say things. And eventually I heard some of the things that were said by the members, a pastor who served their church for 40 years. They never spoke up. But all of a sudden now they're speaking against the pastor. Oh, some of the things they said, which were not even true. They began to attack his character. They began to attack his work, his motives, because one tongue began to wag. One tongue started the fire in the church because it did not like what the pastor suggested. Before long, the church was divided. People leaving the church and going away. They called a pastor. He stayed there only 2 weeks. I got an email saying the pastor that came and told the church the night he preached on a Sunday night, and he told the church they need to get their act together, and he left. Yes, my friends, one tongue started a fire that destroyed a ministry. Oh, our tongues need to be careful what we say about people. How we attack people, we're not immune to it. It is so easy. But our tongues need to be crucified. Yes, the church was divided. People were hurt in that church. Young people left the church and went out. Some even into the world. Why? Because God's people could not control their tongue. Oh, if Christian tongues were crucified, what a blessing it will be. What a blessing it will be to the people of God. Yes, I could go on and tell you all about the tongue. But all I want to tell you today is may our tongues be crucified with Christ. That's what Paul the Apostle said. I am crucified with Christ. Friends, I want to encourage you today. Leave the old sin, the old habits away. Christ paid it all. He died for you and for me. How can I live now? I can live a crucified life for the cause of Christ. I can live for Him. That's what Paul the Apostle said. He says, "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." The Lord gave everything, His body, for you and for me. What can we give to Christ today? What can we give to Him? Can we give our lives? A life that is surrendered, a life that is a living sacrifice to be used of the Master for His glory. May that be our prayer this afternoon, that God can use us as a chosen vessel for Him.